Our habits. The seventh of these eight-step series, which I think is worth going into because of the nature and importance of the subject, habits. I distinguish here between two kinds of habit regarding the virtue of chastity. We can first distinguish between having the habit of chastity or the habit of unchastity. Now, clearly, a religious is to grow in the habit of chastity, chastity as temperance. The habit is acquired by the performance of those actions which by repetition become habitual. Are we saying that a person who still experiences sexual arousal, and maybe even severe arousal, does not yet have the habit of chastity? It doesn't follow. But, as a general rule, the stronger the person's habit of chastity as temperance, the less easily or less strongly will the person be aroused. But there is no such thing as not being aroused sexually. If they are a human being, no matter what their age, they can be aroused. I want to say a little more about this habit of unchastity. It doesn't necessarily follow that a person who may have had bad sexual habits before he or she entered the religious life, that they can be discouraged and they need to be enlightened. They think, and they wouldn't be human if they didn't think, that somehow they should be able to master those impulses, if not in the first week, at least in the first 3 to 6 months. Tell them it is not that simple. Well, what are we saying? We are saying there can be a genuine and real virtue of chastity as temperance in a person who still finds him or herself either quite easily or quite frequently aroused. Now, God spares some people. God is good. And sometimes you are just breathless with his mercy to sinners. Weeks after having entered a community, it is just like different people. But warn them. One reason in many cases for the lack of sexual arousal is the absence of sex stimuli. Be sure those are watched, especially in the early age, in the early stages. Failure in modesty, in the sense in which we are speaking here, which might be considered stodgy or anything like that, in the world outside, is essential in the religious life. There are things you just don't talk about. Things you just don't bring up. There are ways you just don't act once you are a religious that may have been very common in the dormitory of a college before you entered the religious life. They can be told that with God's grace, no matter how strong the impulses, first of all, the impulses themselves, does not mean the absence of the virtue of chastity as temperance. But with God's grace, normally, these stimuli are weakened, the control is mastered, and the frequency reduced, all with the passage of time. One thing that the religious should be willing to talk about, and you must be willing to listen, I don't mean thoughtlessly, but prudently, to listen to them concerning their own sexual past experience or their present difficulty along these lines. But be more indulgent. They had been in the past. The more reserved they must become in the practice of modesty as religious. And that covers much more than the few words that I've spoken. And this is where you must be very prudent. Finally, character. I use this in the general sense of a person's habitual disposition, which becomes the way that an individual is treated or dealt with by others. We should all cultivate, and from the youngest days, all should be taught to cultivate the character of chastity. People should know that we are different. The language that religious use, the things we are interested in, and of course, I've had the nerve to say it, and I've had people walk out because I say it. One of the main reasons for adopting the religious habit is this. People should sense in their dealing with us that they are dealing with a person who, please God, has a chaste character. All right, so much for the sequence. And that is only part one. Now, chastity as sacrifice. My definition, it is the virtue of religion in sacrificing legitimate sex pleasure as a form of adoration to God. The virtue of religion in sacrificing the legitimate sexual pleasure as a form of adoration of God. In one sense, a chastity as temperance is already part sacrifice. God has a right to command our subjection to His will, and God can make some very strange demands. For sometimes the only reason for the demand is that we might acknowledge, well, this is God. Chastity as temperance makes human sense. I worked for 5 years in a state mental hospital, 1 year at a penitentiary. All I know is that we don't have to be told that people who are sexually intemperate end up with troubles, either with the law, or with other people, or with themselves. Venereal disease, and this is for the last 5 years, I've read just enough on the subject to speak about it. I am told the venereal disease in the United States has reached epidemic proportions. Millions of people permanently harmed physically in their bodies and often psychologically in their minds because of sexual indulgence. I have dealt with too many people who do not believe in Christian chastity not to know that for the world, chastity is not a popular virtue. Note the difference. It becomes sacrifice when the reason for my chastity is not self-preservation, which self-control assures, but becomes adoration. What then is the basic difference between chastity as temperance and as sacrifice? It is the motive. And this is where, in training people to grow in the virtue of chastity, here as sacrifice, be sure from their first day they know why they are doing it. I have read enough to say that this is often missed. Chastity as sacrifice is acknowledgement of God's mastery over our bodies. There is a difference between abstinence in food as temperance and abstinence in food as sacrifice. This chastity as sacrifice must be practiced by everyone in every state of life, except that in the religious life, the sacrifice is greater. To grow in chastity as sacrifice means practicing chastity as a form of adoration to God. How do I grow in that motivation? This, and how seldom we have seen this in print, this is the fundamental act of adoration of Christ as man toward his heavenly Father. Acknowledging his Father's sovereignty, Christ, therefore, who practiced this chastity of sacrifice, made it more demanding than it had ever been before. Let me put it on three levels. Chastity existed as sacrifice already in the Old Testament. But judging by what we read about the people in the Old Testament, we can say minimally compared to what Christ expects of his followers. Secondly, chastity in the New Testament is far more requiring. The classic sections on these are in the Sermon on the Mount, especially where Christ compares the law that was given in the Old Testament and the law as he now gives it. Christ, therefore, elevated it and made it much more demanding and for everyone. It was in the context of telling his followers that from now on they might not remarry, even in the case of adultery. And that is a big sacrifice. But what Christ is demanding of his married followers in chastity as sacrifice, sacrifice might be asked of wife or husband where the mate has absconded or run away, or a husband or a wife is in a mental institution. The marriage was normal until, well, whatever crisis entered their life. And yet, the married partner may not remarry. Chastity of sacrifice is more in the New Testament than it was in the Old. But then to climax this, in the New Testament, it is the highest in the religious life. And we should train our young charges to expect to make sacrifices of chastity. Now, Jean or Mabel, or whatever her name is, or Jim or Joe, or whatever his name is, maybe you didn't know what you were getting into. As a religious, no ordinary sacrifice is enough. I think it mainly means because of motivation developing in those who are in your care new ways of thinking, of reasoning, of imagining, so that they will appreciate from the lives of the saints, particularly of those who have practiced heroic chastity even to martyrdom. So this idea of sacrificing legitimate pleasure as an act of adoration to God will make sense. Finally, chastity as love. It is the lifetime surrender of sexual pleasure out of love for God. It is the lifetime surrender of sexual pleasure out of love for God. Notice, this is not only self-control. That is temperance. Not only giving up to acknowledge God's sovereignty. That is sacrifice. But this is a means of showing one's love for God, and specifically in the person of Christ. One of my favorite lectures is Chastity and Charity. It lasts about an hour, but just a few insights. How are the two related? That is, chastity and love. First of all, love is the motive for this chastity. You might say that self-enlightened wisdom is the motive for chastity as temperance. Adoration, acknowledging God's mastery, is the motive for sacrifice. Here, it is love. Love for whom? Fundamentally, love for God. However, and this is one of the great, marvelous mysteries of our faith, when God became man, he didn't have to do it. He showed his love for the Father by living a life of stainless chastity. If you ask, why should love be the motive for this kind of chastity? Because only love can even inspire it, let alone sustain it. By now, the centuries of the Church's spirituality, I've seen many writers commentating on this subject in many volumes. They explain this by saying that true love is always shown in giving. The more you love, the more you wish to give. In the practice of chastity, you give the noblest power that you have, the power of reproducing yourself in your own flesh and blood out of love for God. Secondly, in terms of the relationship of chastity and love, love is the only measure of this chastity. The more deeply I am in love, the more surely and safely and permanently I will remain chaste. So much so that people who want to become religious and start by entering the religious life must be taught from the start. Either they grow in the love of God or they will not. They will not maintain their chastity. It is too hard. Now, what was the measure of this chastity in different ways? It is the measure of chastity in different ways in the willingness that I have. It is in the more I love God, the more willing I am to give this to God as a sign of my love for him. It is also a measure of chastity in that as I grow in this love, I grow in chastity. In dealing with neophytes, be very sure. This is where appearances can be deceiving. This is important. This growing in love, growing in love of God, results in a growing of chastity within you. Chastity as temperance makes sense. In fact, this is just common sense. And even chastity as sacrifice. You would expect God to make demands. Well, he makes this demand. But chastity as love is far more demanding. The reason I say this is because I have seen by now so many casualties in the religious life, and not just in the first few months or years, but after 20 years or more in the religious life. You either grow in your love of God or your chastity is in danger. Mark my words. And in the folly that some religious perpetrate, having weakened in their love for God, say in a sister's life, a man comes along, a positive bum. A girl in the world wouldn't look at him twice. She falls like a ton of bricks and makes a fool of herself. Our hearts were made for love. It all depends on whom we love and how much. Age, by the way, is no protection. This love, as the measure of chastity, is real. A religious cannot settle for anything else. And a completely selfless love of God in the person of Christ. Otherwise, if they remain chaste, it will be accidental. And it is not just the desire for sex pleasure, the desire for companionship, for intimacy, and age makes no difference. Third, love gives the norm for chastity. In other words, it tells how chaste we should be. And the word is perfectly chaste, no compromise. I wish I could put it into print. I think the main single reason for the conversion of religious life in a country like the United States is right here. Neglect and carelessness in practice of chastity as love. Religious have cultivated all kinds of social relationships. That doesn't mean you are not friendly or kind, but there is one for whom your heart is absolutely reserved. Finally, love gives the model for chastity. And this, of course, is in the person of God made man. If we want to know how chaste we are to be, not only in quantity but in quality, we are to look to Christ. It would be valuable sometime just to reread those passages in the Gospels where, in the light of what we are saying, we can see Christ's chastity practiced. He loved his Father intensely. He never loved others less. On the contrary, he loved them more. One of the lies is the claim that if you give up human love for the love of God, you will cease loving human beings. nonsense. It is just the opposite. You will love them more and more and love more of them, and you will love them in spite of themselves. And that is because you love them for themselves. This is my description of chaste love. Loving another person for him or herself and not for myself. Unchastity is selfish. Chastity is selfless. And the model is the person of Christ. In helping people to develop this virtue of chastity as love, I recommend several things. First of all, what we are talking about, do have clear in your own mind that what I am sharing with you is centuries of the Church's wisdom in these few minutes that we have to discuss this important subject. People need more than ever. Religious nowadays need to know why. Why the stress on prayer? Why the intimacy with Christ? Why recollection? What is the purpose? Otherwise, I won't remain chaste. I am living in a dream world. Even though I may pass for a chaste person, God knows better, and the world knows better. So try to understand as well as you can, and have your sisters and religious try to understand the why. You wouldn't know who he is. Let me just ask you to remember him in your prayers, even if just for a moment. A classmate of mine, we entered the same day, a brilliant man, taught with me here in Chicago in the Jesuit School of Theology. Just outstanding. Whatever happened, I don't know, I can't judge. All I know is it happened. He was 61 years old. One of the religious women students studying for the priesthood here in Chicago settled for second best. He left the order, left the priesthood, married her. When I heard about it, I was already in New York. I said a few prayers for him. Then less than 6 months after his marriage, I couldn't believe it. I got a letter from the provincial. We belong to the same province. Father so-and-so suffered a massive heart attack and died in 24 hours. See what I am driving at? And a further point with regard to these young novices. Some of these young people are very perceptive, and in this matter, they can be sometimes wiser than their elders. When they give up human love, and many have given up human love, they want to be told and retold. It is because of the Christ who has now entered your life, and he is to become that for you what no man in your life could supply. And of course, we've got to see it ourselves. We don't teach what we don't know. I would recommend also cultivating love for Our Lady on the level in which I am speaking. It is remarkable in the Litany of Our Lady how many of the invocations somehow affect her chastity. Virgin most chaste, mother inviolate, mother undefiled, virgin most prudent, virgin most this, virgin most that. A good portion of the invocations have to do with chastity. The beauty of that is that since it is Christ who is our model, and no one knew him better than his mother, it is both studying her life and asking for her guidance. This goes not just for women, but also for men. I have taught over 500 priests, and I have told them all time and time again, you will be as good a priest as you are devoted to Our Lady. Period. This is how I know why we have got a good Pope. Thirdly, read the lives of saints, either of those saints who are famous for their chastity, or among the saints, those aspects, either of their lives or parts of their writings, which touch on or deal with this subject. And I don't know how you feel about this, but I think the day is gone that we have to be so fussy or so puritanical. Nobody in his or her right mind will talk about the anatomy of sex in teaching chastity. There is a place for anatomy. There is a place for morality. But some of the saints had deep struggles with this virtue. Don't hesitate knowing those parts of the saints' lives. Read yourself and have them read. Maria Goretti is, of course, the latest. I had the privilege of broadcasting her canonization in English, June 20, 1950. I can't believe it, 30 years ago. Her mother, Margarita, as you know, is still living. Her mother was in the papal apartment while Pius XII was canonizing her daughter. We turned our binoculars on Margarita and talked about her over the microphone to the radio audience. Anyhow, the Holy Father, whatever he was supposed to say, he didn't say it. He was so overwhelmed by the near 800,000 people who showed up for the canonization. Almost a million people. The largest canonization in the history of the Church. Spontaneously, she symbolized what God knows the Church needs. Pius XII told the people present to protect their chastity, and for all the listening audience to protect theirs, because this is the principal target of the unbelieving world, your Christian chastity. If you can find back issues of the Sunday Visitor for somewhere between June 27 or 30, 1950, the homily which Pope Pius XII gave in Italian, I translated all night, the 20th to 21st of June, all night translating that homily and sending it on to the United States. It was published in the Sunday Visitor, the following Sunday's issue. I don't think it has appeared in print anywhere else in English. And it is inspiring. Be sure that those whom you teach and wish to train in the practice of chastity, and this is where Our Lady's title, Virgin Most Prudent, is kept in mind. Religious must know, especially active religious, And most of us are active religious, as we call ourselves, in dealing with the world. Well, it is an unchaste world. In order to remain chaste, we better know how to do it, which means how to cope with this world. And finally, one word. Growth in chastity on all levels, especially chastity as love, depends on one's faith and the life of prayerful union with God. This concludes Father John Harden's talk on growth in the virtue of chastity.